The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn.
All right. We were just talking about this drought in the Midwest. Is the worst behind us? And even if it is, what about the damage that has already been done? What about the impact on commodities, markets, and prices? Rejoining us on the show, very happy to have him back now, is John Corey. He joins us from Rochester, Indiana. He is the CEO of Prairie Mills Products. He's an independent grain processor who has certainly suffered through this drought with all the other farmers and people in the agricultural industry out there. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Kathleen.
So what about the latest? You know, there is apparently a private crop tour taking place. There's reports each afternoon and evening. What are they finding?
You know, they started out the first day on Monday, and they were expecting better results in Ohio and better results in the Dakotas. And it turned out they were disappointed, and it sort of put a little color in the market that maybe we've got a bigger worry. But when they got into Indiana and into Nebraska yesterday, it kind of gave some optimism that maybe we have had a little less damage than what they had thought. And then today will be interesting as they finish up in Iowa, what they find in Iowa. Iowa, I think, is a real wild card. It looks to me like, though, one of the things that really is going to be one of the biggest questions of all is the abandoned acres, the acres that they just didn't harvest. And I think that's going to be probably one of the biggest questions we've got to get an answer to. 9 million acres were what USDA had forecasted in the most recent report. That number, in some people's eyes, needs to be quite a bit bigger than that.
Well, all of these crop reports and crop examinations, all that data is going to be plugged into some forecast next week, and that's really what everybody's waiting for, right, John?
It is, and, you know, everyone seeks guidance here because we've got to ration out this corn. And right now, you know, $9 corn is a reality that we're going to have to live with. I mean, we're not quite there at this point, but it just appears from the commercial side that all of us are looking at this crop thinking that we're going to ration $9 corn for quite a while. And it appears like that the soybean market is going to be a real wild card, particularly with demand that China seems to be having.
Explain that.
Right now, with the livestock growth that China has established, they have a huge appetite for soybeans, both in their country and in North America and South America. And this crop is much smaller than I think people have thought. While we had some recovery because of some late rains, it's still a small crop. And with their demand, we haven't rationed this soybean crop near at the level it could, and I think it's very likely that it'll take $20 before we see this soybean crop rationed. And the implications...
We're up around 17-something now, right?
That's right. So I think that the implications of that are somewhat within the next 60, 90 days, maybe longer, but somewhere in that period, you know, have somewhat of a real bullish tone towards corn and then particularly wheat. You know, $9 corn basically reflects that wheat needs to be quite a bit higher than where it is.
That wheat needs to be quite a bit higher as well.
Yes. So the relationship that the price of wheat has to corn right now is wheat is too cheap relative to the corn price. So, you know, if corn were to remain in that high $8, low $9 range, wheat needs to be trading well north of $10 towards $11, if not $12.
Explain that relationship, though, John. Why does wheat need to be higher?
Wheat is if you have to ration the corn crop for feed purposes in livestock and not only domestically but globally, then what you also have is that wheat becomes a feed product as well. And I talked to some commercial traders this morning, and that's what's going on in the poultry industry right now. Some of the turkey operators have already started changing their rations to wheat.
This is really, in some sense, then only beginning. One of the ironies, of course, is the volatility. Because if I'm a livestock farmer and I have to slaughter some herds because I can't feed them, that could flood the market for a while. But ultimately, this swings the other way even harder, right? The prices could really move up a lot.
Absolutely, and you know, and this is really just a story with a sad ending, because we're gonna reduce the livestock numbers now, and so we will hold the price of meat products low, and the losses these livestock producers have today will have to be capitalized with some earnings down the road. And some of these men aren't going to make it. Some of these operations are not going to survive.
John, talk to us about ethanol and the doing away of the mandate for a little bit, and what effect that's had.
Well, you know, it's an election year, and the thought I think a lot of people have is that not a lot of change in this ethanol standard will occur until after the election. That's just somewhat of a prevailing thought across the Midwest. But if the event, in the event that they do have some change in that standard and reduction in ethanol develops, then what that could cause quickly is a sell-off in corn price. So the question is, you know, will that happen? At what level and when? And so there's always this pent-up worry that, you know, you've got to guard the backside in the event that something like that happens. And the thing that can really accelerate that is if corn blows on past $9, $10, I think that's something we've got to consider that is a risk.
Talk to us about the Mississippi River. This, you know, the drought, which is across the Midwest, has left the Mississippi River system, which includes the Ohio and Missouri rivers, with very low water levels. That impedes and even delays barge traffic. But I don't know if people realize that inland waterways carry 60% of the nation's grain exports, 22% of domestic petroleum, 20% of coal used to generate electricity. Wow.
Well, Kathleen, our river system is a vital part of the transportation pipeline for all commodities, and the grains are in that group. And yet, right now, because soybeans are our leading export product, what's going on in the Mississippi probably impacts more the soybean market than anything else. Corn is currently in somewhat of a lull on the export side, so it's not nearly as impactful to the corn price as it would be to perhaps soybeans. But, you know, I guess if this problem continues for quite a while, you know, other things are going to have to be considered. You know, soybeans can be moved on in containers and so forth. But, you know, this is really an issue that, you know, the rationing is going to affect.
Well, what's your best guess? What's going to happen? Who's going to store this, and where is it going to go?
Well, you know, the thing that if the infrastructure right now is ill-equipped to handle mass commodities on rail. Soybeans currently are shipped somewhat in containers, so that can't go on. But, you know, to move this amount of corn that historically has gone down the river, you know, that's going to become a real issue if we don't get some rain in the next, you know, 90 days, and perhaps we will. It's just, I guess it's a problem the market will sort itself out, and it comes in the form of the basis. You know, the cash price in New Orleans will basically have to rise to the extent that either by truck or by rail you can get it down there.
What is the lesson, or what is the warning? What should we take from the drought this summer as we, you know, move ahead as a country, as an economy, as investors, as policymakers?
Well, I guess the long view is that, you know, food stability in this country has never really been an issue our society has really thought much about, especially in these last 30, 40 years, because we've always had an abundance. And you have to go back quite a long time before we had shortages. And, you know, in the early 70s, we had a period of tightness, and in the late 80s, we had 1988, a shortage, but it was really never anything maybe to this magnitude. And so this really presents an opportunity for policymakers in the business community and citizens to just really reflect on the need for food stability and some of the thoughts that we have and priorities.
How do you do that?
Well, obviously the people that we elect, you know, have a say-so in that, but sometimes just by virtue of discussions like this, where you can generate thoughtful and reflective discussion. I think it's important people understand, you know, weather affects food.
John, is this going to have a deep impact on, you know, I guess, inflation, but more so on the amount of disposable income that people in the Midwest have.
Yeah, that's an interesting, you know, thing to kind of arm wrestle as you kind of think your way through it. At the farmer level, when you take a look at farmers, the growers that on the crops have crop insurance, so they really are, they don't have, they're going to continue on to next year. The livestock producers are going to have some challenges with their margins, and it will affect some of their situations in solvency. When you get to consumers and the inflation effects that it has, it'll start out slow, but it has the potential to build a fire. And, you know, long history, if you go back 100 or 200 years, things like this have the potential to really catch a brush fire and really go.
Oh, John Corey, thank you so very much. How well put that was. John, CEO of Prairie Meals Products, joining us from Rochester, Indiana. We're moments away from the release of the Fed's minutes, FOMC minutes, the minutes from the August meeting. Markets debating whether or not we're going to see quantitative easing.
You can listen to the Hayes Advantage weekdays at 12:30 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012, Bloomberg LP.